with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome to the Movie Night Podcast, everybody. I am TK Kelly, joined as always by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie with a special guest, and then we talk about it to you guys because that is literally the only thing we could come up with.
Yes, yes. And this week, we have a very, very special guest. Because I think I've only been the leading man in one movie. I had to produce it myself to make that happen. And well, I co-produced it. I don't even have a producer credit, but you get it. Anyway, and this woman played my wife. She's a very talented actress and a blogger. Her blog is called The Actor's Diet, where she talks about what she eats every day. And people don't believe she eats because she's quite thin, but I've seen it. She can really.
But it's true, guys.
She can take down some food. Yes. The hilarious, the talented, the perfect pitch having Lynn Chen.
Thanks for having me.
What's going
perfect
on, Lynn?
Perfect pitch having. Wow.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, do we have to make you sing now? Is that
right.
Like, you just throwing that out there, Dwayne?
Let's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, no,
test
I would
that.
Not make like, you do that.
It's like on BET when you go to the basement, you got to freestyle.
you got to do it. Do it. You have to freestyle right now, Lynn. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
So, she was,
was
sheer terror. How's it going? What have you been up to?
I've been good. I've been really, really good. I've been eating a lot this past week because I haven't been really working acting-wise. So when I don't work acting-wise, I do blog work. Mm-hmm. So I've had the horrible task of going to different restaurants almost every single day and trying their entire menu.
Oh, what a horrid life
it
that is.
It is a hard life, let me tell you. So I'm digesting. That's what I've been up to,
if
basically.
You guys hear a weird grumbling noise, that's just Lynn's body. She's doing okay, but she's been taking in a lot.
And for the most part, good times with these restaurants?
Very good times at these restaurants. Sweet, sweet. But, you know, they're also presenting their best. You know, it's
right,
not like they're
right.
coming to me and are like, this is just an okay dish. They're giving me their best, and they're giving me, it's presented really well.
Yeah, so it's not like a secret thing. Like, they know you're coming, and it's...
Oh, yes.
But at this point, wouldn't it be more useful if you, like, went undercover, incognito?
It might be useful, but then it wouldn't be free.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and then she'd get all the shitty food that they serve us. What, any particular favorites recently? Any place you want to drop a free plug for?
I do want to drop a free plug for this place, BP Oysterette, Blue Plate Oysterette.
Oh, that place is great.
In Santa Monica is the original, but they opened up one on 3rd Street.
Yes.
Oh my God, I think I just ate there. Is this on Main? Is it on Main?
I don't know where the one on... in Santa Monica it is.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like
not sure either. I went
joint.
To the West Hollywood one.
No, I just went there. Great oysters, and I'm not an oyster guy.
Yeah.
This is so weird. I went there for happy hour like a week ago.
Terrific oysters from Wellfleet, Massachusetts.
Yeah, really good place. And I don't feel like you get a lot of that type of place out here. And I took my parents there when they were in town, and they loved it. It was great.
Their lobster roll is quite excellent.
That's what I had.
Yes.
Killed it.
Did you get it dressed or undressed?
Oh, God. I don't remember. I want to say dressed.
With mayo, was it cold?
Yes.
Oh, and then it was dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Wise choice, my friend.
That's the way to go.
Wise choice.
That's always the way to go on a lobster roll, guys. And that's what we're really about here, is telling you how to eat a lobster roll.
Right, right.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, too, about this movie that you co-starred with Dwayne in, your experience. How was it? You can be honest. Tell him he was terrible.
It was actually a lot of fun, which is weird to say about a horror film, especially because I don't like horror films. I
me either, actually.
I hate horror films. Yeah.
It seems like it. Lynn was explaining to me her deathly fear of possums. So I don't think I don't think anyone who's that genuinely afraid of possums is into horror films either.
Oh well, actually, now that you say that, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but in this movie, we have one of these devices that choke us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the person who's kidnapped us. I wake up with this device around my neck, which was functional.
Yeah, okay.
And
is it like a sex toy normally?
No,
what
no.
Is this
it inflates.
Oh,
it inflates
all right.
And chokes me at the person's will. So,
okay.
And Lynn has a thing about being choked.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
don't like
actually,
it.
We didn't.
Don't like
we,
that.
Yeah, we should clarify that.
We didn't inflate yours at all. Right. No. A thing which she doesn't.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Doesn't
you,
like.
When you say someone has a thing about being right. choked, everyone's like, oh my.
I mean, she doesn't like being choked. Yeah. Is what I'm sorry. Yes. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I have a fear of death by neck, like guillotines, vampires,
just
choking,
generally very.
Slashing of the throat. Right, right.
So
none of these things.
Very
are,
wary of your neck.
They don't, so, I don't. They don't sit well with me.
So when Wu-Tang, came out with Protect
Your Neck.
That was
she
your
was
jam,
like, that's what she rolls to.
That's my song. By the way, your opening song is my favorite song.
No, is that right?
It's not yes. too bad.
There you go.
I just wanted to put it out there.
Now, is it Tribe Called Quest or
the
Lou Reed?
The Tribe Called
Quest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're both good.
Yeah,
both
right.
good songs.
I mean, Lou Reed is fine, but I Can I Kick It is really
Yeah, I mean, that's. White. I think that's what I knew it as was the Tribe song.
Right.
And then later, I was like, oh, this sounds like that Tribe song. I mean, yeah, as a kid, you learn, like, oh, that's actually that's not great. Theirs. I did that with so many songs.
Oh, me,
any, all the
God.
Stuff that was sampled, I knew it as the rap version first.
I mean, rap is why I love Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've been sampled pretty heavily.
Huh.
And they're great, Steely Dan. Great. Awesome. And, yeah, so that's what we do here. We kick it. And so this movie... Lynn is a, you know, I was surrounded by good actors. Like, I felt like it was like Seinfeld in a sense. You know how Seinfeld was, you know, I think he knows he was the weakest actor.
He was the least actor of all of them.
Right.
He was a comedian.
But he brought something to it, and
he
did a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully that's what happened with this movie, because you were great, and
thanks,
everyone
Ray.
Was great.
But you were great, too.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know. You have to say that, but I appreciate it.
Once it comes out, she's going to be like, man, he really Seinfelded this thing up.
Well, the crazy thing is, yeah, I had to get... I think Ray, who is the director, Ray, at the last moment, at the 11th hour, was like, why don't you just play Dwayne Perkins? Because I'm playing a stand-up comic who's pretty hacky. So that's why I couldn't work. See.
So he was like, just play Dwayne Perkins.
Right.
Was that taking a little jab at you, man?
No, I think he wanted to let me off the hook acting-wise.
Yeah.
So, like, if I didn't, you know, reach a certain level of whatever he wanted, it would just be like, oh, that's just, like, people can't call you on something when you're playing yourself.
Yeah, well, it takes some of the headiness out of it of thinking, what would my character do as opposed to just be natural? What would you do?
Right.
Well, you know what you would do.
Exactly, but I'm glad I'm not playing myself. But people still probably won't. Like in this movie, I play an orphan, someone who was an orphan, and I'm sure once people see it, people are going to think I'm an orphan.
Like, I had no idea Dwayne was an orphan. This is tragic.
And I'm completely not an orphan.
And your mom's going to be like, "What the fuck?"
Right, exactly.
I'm here.
But then you can say that's acting.
Oh,
yes, that's great. That's a good point.
If people believe it, you did your job.
And this is the second podcast that we've done. That we've both been on, I think second. I'm not keeping count.
Yeah.
Maybe there's maybe more than three, maybe more than
I
two.
Think.
But we also did a mental health thing, not together, but at separate times. And Lynn made the guy break down and cry.
I let him reveal his vulnerable side.
This sounds terrifying. You're not going to make me cry, are you? Because I don't want to cry.
I'm a really easy person to talk to.
Yeah, I'm just going to start telling you shit I shouldn't be telling you.
Well, the thing is, Len makes, what did you make? Cupcakes with pretzels in them.
Yeah, I'd like, she just, I like doing
is
things
this
with
how
pretzels.
You get people? Are you drugging your food?
Now
she she just gave me some kind of pretzel treat.
Quote unquote pretzels.
Yeah, what is in these? Is truth serum.
Blew my mind. I made
a chocolate peanut butter muffin with pretzels and peanuts.
I think any snack food, like any sweet food with pretzels in it, I'm all about
that's,
it.
No.
That's what I
all
think
about
is,
it.
Is all, that's life.
Yeah.
Life is salty and sweet.
It is.
Life is salty and sweet. There you go. Sounds like a t-shirt or a greeting
a commercial.
Card.
A greeting.
Yeah. I think the thing is with Lynn, and probably why you made Paul cry, is that, you know, you put people at ease. So it's almost like people can say anything.
Oh.
Around you.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Dwayne stepping
what
up
he just
that
did.
Transition game. That was fucking good. I didn't even see that one coming,
you
Dwayne.
You didn't see that one
I
coming?
Didn't.
Oh,
that
wow.
was beautifully
I
orchestrated.
I didn't either. I thought you were really going to go on and on about
knocked
how easy
it,
I am to talk to
that out of the park, Dwayne. That was, Dwayne subtly sneaking in the title of this week's movie. It is from 1989. It's called Say Anything, directed by Cameron Crowe, starring John Cusack, Ione Skye, and John Mahoney.
Ione Sky.
Ione Sky. There you go. What happened to her? That's what I want to know. Yeah, did she? Was she in anything
she,
after
I think
this?
She's an artist now.
Okay.
Well, she was married to
with a name
a
like
Beastie
that.
Boy.
She's got to be.
Yes.
And then she, now she's still married to a singer.
At Rocks Down with the Ione.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God! That look, Ione, my, you, guys. You guys can't see me, but my mind just exploded. Ione. I didn't know it. See, this is—I was explaining to Lynn earlier, and this is one of my many guilts. In when it comes to movies, I think everybody has those ones that they don't want to tell people they had never seen.
Oh, completely.
Because everybody's reaction is always like, "What the hell is wrong with you? Like you're a bad person." I had not seen this movie.
That's crazy.
I knew so much of it. Like it's so kind of part of the pop culture. I just think I didn't feel the need to ever see it.
What was crazy is I just saw it about maybe whenever the 25th anniversary was a few years ago, I saw it. And even from then till now, which was only a few years ago, I picked up things that I didn't like things I didn't remember from just, you know, it's not like, oh, I saw it when I was a kid. I'm like, I saw it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind again. And I'm on the if you get the 25-year anniversary Blu-ray, I'm in the commentary section.
Oh, what? Yeah, you were telling me about that.
About this movie.
What?
Why and how did that happen?
They just interviewed a bunch of people who they thought, I guess, were from that era or could, you know, the movie resonated with. And as a comic, I was representing that, I guess. And they submitted, you know, the Blu-ray, which I've never seen. Because I don't have a Blu-ray player.
So it's like, hey, you think you're, maybe you got cut out.
No, someone told me they saw me. And the thing is, it's not like I can't afford a Blu-ray.
We have to watch that version.
It just strikes me as this transitional technology.
I agree. Like, I refuse Blu-ray. I refuse it.
Like I'm watching stuff on Amazon on my Roku. So like.
Yeah. No, I'm completely with you. I refuse it. But. I mean, I think if I was part of a movie, I would probably get it. So what are your feelings on this movie overall? What do you think of it, Lynn?
Well,
how did you enjoy it?
This movie I've seen probably, I'm not exaggerating, 100 times.
Wow.
As growing up, especially during the period where I got my heart broken in 1993, and I was grounded for a week.
This is that kind of movie.
And I wore my ex-boyfriend's t-shirt and watched the movie over and over and blew my nose in his shirt. So yeah, I knew the movie so well, like even parts where I was like, they changed the music cue or like they're going to play. Yeah, I like knew lines. And also, this is also one of the many movies my mother would edit. My mom would edit out sex scenes.
Your mom edited movies?
How did
she
edited,
do that? Would she have like two VCRs?
She would watch the VCR as it was taping on HBO or whatever, see sex happening, press pause, and then like The Color Purple, the lesbian scene, never saw it.
That's hilarious.
Never saw it. So in this movie, there's like just a little bit of the in your eyes scene that I don't really know by heart.
That's pretty
the
right.
way I know. That's the rest great. Of the movie really well. But I haven't seen it in at least a decade. So I rewatched it with my husband. And it was really nice to see how much I've grown. Because, you know, you reflect on what you thought during that time.
And it's very much that type of movie. Yeah,
and where you are today and who and what you think of those same things. And I'm happy to report that
I think
I've grown up, guys.
Threw the shirt away. You're not blowing your nose in it anymore.
No.
Very nice.
This was, I was very surprised by this movie. I think because I hadn't seen it, but I was so aware of it, I had a lot of assumptions about what it was going to be. I thought it was a very straightforward, you know, 80s cheesy romantic comedy. I put it in the book with all those other similar movies.
Right, right.
And it's different for sure. I didn't realize, like, I mean, the couple, John Cusack and the girl, they get together very early in the movie. Like, to me, I was like, this is going to be one of those movies where the guy who's not popular eventually wins over the girl who is. But it kind of happens relatively early, and it's more about, like, them being together, which I found it really interesting.
Yeah, what I think is interesting, one, it's like the late 80s, right? So it's almost like everything about this movie seems like to be a bridge, because it's like the bridge between the 80s and 90s. And also, I think it was brilliant to set it right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like high school, all those other movies are in essence high school movies, and like the jocks hang with the jocks and the dweebs hang with the dweebs, what have you. And this was like right after high school, almost like, so right away, let's shed those distinctions.
Yeah, like all of those factions
and we're
kind
just
of
people
don't exist.
And seeing that phase, and it's transitional because he's kickboxing. Like everything is so like cutting edge in a sense that, when you look back. That like, was MMA like, wasn't a thing yet.
That was like the cheesy part to me, though. That was the one part where I was like, this is super 80s.
But
like,
so accurate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess everyone was kind of into karate back then.
Exactly. That was a very like 80s thing.
But he was into like MMA.
Yeah.
Like specifically, you know, or what I think
would Lloyd, become Lloyd MMA. Dobler, trailblazer.
Yeah.
Most people don't know this, but John Cusack invented mixed martial arts. That's absolutely true.
And I love Joan Cusack. I really, 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 really like her. So, and she's in it, you know.
Yeah, she's.
Not that much. But
well, she's his
just
sister.
Enough. Yeah, yeah. Just, she plays a sister, which is great casting when you think about it.
It's not bad. They're like, you know, he just has a sister. Yeah.
I think it's sort of like, even like the there's so many scenes. Like I enjoyed the whole movie, but then there's scenes that I could literally just watch every day. Like I can watch a scene with him talking to the guys who hang out and on the corner or wherever they are in front of the liquor store or whatever.
The gas and sip.
Yes, the gas and sip.
Yeah.
Like that scene, I could just watch it every day. It's that good.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, when you look at this, it makes you. It's like inspirational, but it also, from an artistic standpoint, it could make you want to go get a regular job, or it could inspire you. You know, like you're like, can I ever do this thing?
It made me want to steal from old people. Right. That's what it inspired me to do that.
I actually worked. I actually volunteered in a nursing home in high school, and I think it was because of this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it hit me like. That's why I worked at Dunrovin.
How much did you steal from them?
I actually was really nice to them because I was like, I'm not going to be the one that ends up, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
stealing from them one day. I'm going to be the nice one.
That was such a heavy thing, and one of the things that for me was so unexpected from this movie. Like, I think I expected like an 80s version of Can't Hardly Wait. Like, where it's like, it's kind of a cookie cutter
right.
romantic comedy about high school kids, but it has its funny moments and it's enjoyable. But, like, this dealt with some kind of heavy shit. Like, her dad goes to prison, and I'm like, I didn't see this movie going here at all. Yeah, what the hell is happening?
No, and also, I liked it because Cusack's character is so well calibrated, where in high school you couldn't tell, but as soon as high school ends, you can tell, like, he's basically her intellectual equal. Mm-hmm. Even though she's been like a great student.
She's academically
above him. Ahead of him. But when they start talking, it's not like she can't keep up either, you know, like, so well, for them to find each other, it works on that level too. And
it was loftier than I expected it to be. I think like I expected Can't Hardly Wait. And there was more aspects of like The Graduate than I thought there would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very surprising, but I really liked it. So I'm glad I finally watched it. So people will stop yelling at me.
And I like, well, you know, Just I don't know. I could beat, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there's so many elements. Just the way he deals with adults and the way she deals with adults, because she's been more like, her whole thing is to do what is expected of you, mm-hmm. and that's worked like really well for her. His whole thing is like, challenge everything,
say anything,
really, right? Yeah, and that's worked for him. I think the thing too is you have to like believe they love each other or really are into each other, but you also have to like love them, you know. I think like every guy watching this should be like, well, I want her, you know. You know.
Is that what you thought when she walked out with the flower in her hair?
Yeah, I just
in that white dress.
I just love her mouth. There's something about her mouth I really did.
I think Dwayne's commentary might have gotten a little creepy. He's like, I want her.
Is it like an underbite or overbite? It's an overbite, right? I always confuse that.
She's got like the Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, she's a very, very like unique look. Something different about her.
Now let me ask you, Cusack, is he a guy who
I love? Lloyd Dobler.
Okay.
I mean, there's no one in the world that exists who doesn't love Lloyd Dobler.
That's what I'm thinking. Right. That's what I'm thinking.
And that's kind of even in the universe of this movie, like where everyone keeps saying to her, like, you know, why are you dating such and such a guy? But I'm like. But everyone who interacts with this guy loves him.
Right.
Like, they can't... I think the people who are saying that obviously don't really know him at all. But, like, he is... I kept expecting her father to, like, have a problem with the way he was. the fact that he was so overt and just said whatever the hell came to his mind. But even the father, like, really liked him, which I was really, again, I kind of went against, that kind of went against the trend of that type of movie. Is usually the father's like, you're not allowed to date this dude, he's bad, right, whatever. Right.
Well, I think he didn't think it was going to be a permanent thing.
He didn't, but yeah. he took a liking to him right away. Like, yeah. There was just something about the kid being so straightforward. He wasn't thrilled once he mentioned the kickboxing, but he was like, oh, all right, he's an idiot, but that's, do your thing, whatever. But, like, I mean, I can identify with that. I feel like if you're at that age, if you're a marginally intelligent person and you meet a significant other's parents and what you want to do with your life is not a conventional thing, they are immediately like, what?
Yeah,
like, you want to do what? I will never forget my first girlfriend's grandmother when I told her I wanted to be a comedian. Her immediate and dead serious response was like, what about an electrician? I was like, I mean,
oh my God.
Maybe, I don't know. Didn't great. Really think about it. It was just so like, they immediately are kind of like, well, that you can't do that. You can't do that job. That's not a job that people do. So like kickboxing.
No, but the thing is, he was so far ahead of everyone else because he already had his argument constructed. So like when he said, I want to be a kickboxer. You're thinking like, he's making perfect sense right now.
Yeah. See, I didn't have that. I was just like, oh, maybe I will be an electrician. I don't know. Right. let's get into the games. Let's launch into these questions. Each week we do a handful of questions that relate to the movie in particular. Let's start off. I like this one. I mean, you have to acknowledge this scene when it comes to this movie. It's the famous scene where Lloyd Dobler's holding the boombox over his head and playing it outside her window. Again, didn't play out like I thought it would. I fully thought that was like the end of the movie,
right,
where she like came running back to him. And then the scene just ends and nothing happens. And I'm like, what happens? This is a very confusing movie for me. But what song is playing if that happens? If that significant, if the boyfriend who you were blowing your nose in his shirt, if he came to your window and he's playing a song for you,
God.
What is it and why?
If he was playing, I wasn't picturing
him. Or it could be
him.
Anybody.
I was picturing like my husband.
Whoever of your choice.
Because that'd be the only person that'd be standing outside
what
my
if,
window.
What if that boyfriend shows up now, tonight?
If that ex-boyfriend for some reason wanted me back and was going to be blasting something, it would probably be like something by Phish.
Not a win that girl back
bad.
Music.
That would be like some jam session from Red Rocks.
Yeah, you'd just like be 19... yelling out the window like, right. Turn it down!
Right, and you'd come to the window and
I would
like...
not be happy.
Okay,
that.
But if it's your husband.
But if it's my husband, it would be our song, which is Chaka Khan's Love Me Still. Do you know that song?
I'm not sure
if I know
it.
It was the end song for the movie Clockers.
Clockers, that Spike Lee movie?
Yes.
I can't...
It's a very sweet
My brain is not conjuring...
Song. There's a piano being played. It's our song.
Nice.
I guess that would play. And that would make my heart go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I would fly out the window if he was playing that song.
I went to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Like, mine is very goofy now and not heartfelt at all, and I feel bad about it. But mine would be Hit 'Em High from the Space Jam soundtrack. I don't know if you guys remember that gem.
No.
Oh, man, it's good. It's Be Real, Method Man, Coolio, LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes.
And I feel like it's like Hit 'Em While You're High, right?
It's a kid's movie, but I think it would have to be that one because any girl who really knew me knows that if I heard that song, I'd definitely come to the window and be like, what is going on? This is a great song.
Right.
I'd have to do it. You have to know like mid-90s movie soundtrack rap to find the way to my heart.
There you go. Well, for me, I was the person at the window with the, that's how I pictured it. And similar along the same lines.
I don't know why I just made myself the girl. You made me feel like a real dick.
No. Hey, this is the world we live in.
You know, sometimes I want to be wooed,
yeah,
okay?
A girl can have a boombox, you know, why not? They passed that law, remember in 86, allowing girls to have boomboxes? For me, similar. I would say ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, Brooklyn Zoo.
Nice.
Because if I'm there and playing Brooklyn Zoo, I'm saying, listen, you get it.
Yeah, yeah. You, this is who I am.
You get it. I get it.
Yeah, that's
bring your
my
ass
thing.
Down here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like it. I think that's a great choice. Let's go to number two. This movie is great for this question. Take a life lesson from it. There's kind of a lot to be learned from this kind of movie.
So much.
You want to lead it off, Dwayne?
I will. And my life lesson is sometimes you have to go straight to the top. You know, like Lloyd doesn't play games with it. He's like, I'm just going to go for the top girl in the school.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And it worked out. When my brother was young, he went to Def Jam in New York. He just walked into Def Jam when he was like 8 or 9 or something.
Eight or nine?
Yeah, like somewhere between 9 and
when you
and
said
11.
Young, I thought you meant like 18.
No, no. He just went into Def Jam, walked in and got a meeting and, you know, played his tape. And he's always doing stuff like that. He's always going straight
to the... That is an industrious 8-year-old.
So, just go straight to the top. Sometimes
that's
you have to
insane.
Like jump over all the gatekeepers, go to the top.
Well, I mean, that's definitely more doable when he did that. I imagine if an 8-year-old wandered in there now, they'd be like,
yeah. He may have been 12, but he was very young, but below 13.
Yeah. But yeah, this character kind of, it is just a testament to just like, just fucking go for it. Don't second guess. If you believe in something, just do it. And then like, I mean, it works out well for him, but if it didn't, it's still like, he doesn't strike me as the kind of character who would crumble after
right,
that.
Right, right. Swing for the fences. Yeah.
Got to go for it. What do you think, Len?
Oh, my, of what life, Dwayne just said.
Life,
oh, life lesson.
Lesson.
Yes. Life
take
lessons,
your life,
life
lesson.
Lessons.
Teach us.
I think that it's a good idea to not know what you want to do when you grow up, when you're young.
Yeah.
Especially, and, you know, like even her father. He thought he knew what he wanted to do, and it didn't work out so well.
I mean, it worked for a while. He
it
was
worked
he
for a while,
stole a lot of money from those old people.
Eventually, it did not work out.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, sometimes it's better not to have a plan. Like his whole speech at the dinner table about, like, I just really want to hang out with your daughter, and you know, I think that's a very zen.
That's
live
a
in
really
the
good
now.
Point. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it worked out well for him.
That's true. He always is only looking at sort of his immediate future. And they say, what are your goals? And his genuine answer is to hang out with your daughter this summer. That's his goal.
I like
and
that
no,
answer.
It's a really good, I think you're absolutely right for like young kids. Like, don't, why have goals? Like, you just graduated high school. Like, you don't have to know at all.
Right.
And maybe, you know, for the Lloyd Dobler character, maybe the kickboxing thing is a phase too. And maybe 2 years from now, he wants to do something else or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, I do think there's a weird amount of stock put in, like, what are you going to be?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Who cares? I'll figure that out.
And I think it's okay to have goals, but more important to have, like, I would say, sort of life objectives, meaning like be a good person or be this way, be that way, and like, you know, honor others, honor yourself, and that will lead you to your goal. Because I think kickboxing, it seems like he arrived at that because it was sort of like in tune with who he was as a person.
Yeah, it's what he wanted.
Right.
It's
yeah, yeah. Mano-y-mano. And some people have goals, but then their value system is wrecked because they're trying to get the goals and they'll do anything to get the goal instead of building their value system first and then going after the goal, you know?
This just got real. That was beautiful. Again, my life lesson is sort of ridiculous. But from what I took from this is teach a girl how to drive stick and she's yours.
You know, it's crazy. A girl taught me how to drive stick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know how to drive stick?
I do, yeah. Yes.
I loved that part in this movie, though, where it was like literally the scene before. She was like, I think we kind of just got to be friends because she's like, I like you, but you're kind of getting in the way of my goals. And then a scene later, he teaches her to drive stick, and it's like, it's on.
Well, that's...
So she loves him.
Well, this movie is built so wonderfully because the father was going to teach her how to drive stick.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she lets Lloyd teach her how to drive stick. The father told her to give Lloyd a pen. She said she would never give him a pen. Then she gives him a pen.
Yeah.
But by the end, she gives that pen to her dad. And it's like, here, you write a letter in jail. I'm going to London.
Bam. You need this pen to tunnel your way out of prison. let's do one more. Well, actually, we can do the drinking game. We can squeeze that in. That's usually a quick one.
Yes.
So come up with a, you know, something repetitive in this movie. You drink every time they do it. Mine's a very easy one. It's every time they say Lloyd Dobler. They say his name, his full name.
His whole handle.
Constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
They sure do.
It's one of those things. And I think everybody kind of knows that person, like in high school, who always called you by your full name for whatever weird reason. But it was like everybody in this movie. Lloyd Dobler. And a very old man name for a teenager.
Oh, completely.
Like the name doesn't fit this character, but that's kind of what makes it awesome.
Right, right. Mine is every time he's shown kickboxing. I just get a kick out of it, the whole thing.
He's pretty good.
He can hold his own. Those
Cusack,
kicks look legit.
Cusack doesn't fuck around.
Yeah, it looks like he had someone teach him how to kick at least.
Yeah, he did all right. Yeah. What do you think, Lynn? What's your drinking game?
I think it's every time someone famous appears that in a very small part.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Chyna Phillips?
Yeah, yeah. this.
What are you doing there, Chyna Phillips, with no lines whatsoever?
It's bizarre watching old movies like this when you, like myself not having seen it, or you haven't seen it in like 10 years, and you realize like there's always people popping up in these movies, and this is definitely one of those. Let's do last one. Dwayne, very interesting choice. He wants us to recast John Cusack's character, Lloyd Dobler, with any WWE wrestler. I assume past or present.
Yes, okay. Past or present, yes.
I don't know. I don't have any logic attached to this at all. But I guess there is a little logic. I went with The Undertaker because
nice.
He's got the coat. He's got the Lloyd Dobler coat. And I, even though looking out your window and seeing The Undertaker holding up a boombox would probably be horrifying. Little Paul Bearer standing next to him, like screaming for no reason. But I found it amusing.
I like it. I went with Lynn.
No, you don't know.
I went with Coco Beware.
Okay.
Because if you remember Coco, he always had a bird on his shoulder. And I just think... this black guy with tights on, hanging out with Diane at the parties.
With a parrot.
And always having a bird. And then also throughout the whole movie, people saying, why is she going out with Coco Beware? How did Coco Beware get her?
That's a very good, that's a good full name replacement for Lloyd Dobler.
Right, Coco
Beware is a fun name to say. I like it. That's genius. What do you think, Lynn? Close it out for us.
Well, I think I did this wrong. I don't know. And WWE.
It's WWF. They just call it that now.
Well, the only person I know is Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
And, you know, he sort of was the father of worldwide wrestling, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Or at least he says he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He married his maybe high school sweetheart. Didn't end up so well.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Lloyd Dobler was the father of kickboxing... Then, you know, it all makes sense, right?
Yeah. And I could see the Hulkster in the role, too. He's very confident. He says what he feels.
Oh, yeah, like at the dinner table.
Straight
what do you want to do? I don't know, brother.
Yeah.
I just want to be with your daughter, brother.
He's ripping his shirt off. A lot of holding his hand to his ears when he's out the window. I like it. I think it fits. Thanks so much for being here, Lynn.
This was a lot of fun, guys.
We're really glad you could do it. You want to tell people how to find you, name of your blog, your Twitter handle, anything like that?
My Twitter is at Ms. Lynn Chen. Ms., like, not a Mrs., not a Miss. I'm a Ms. Lynn Chen. You can find me at lynnchen.com or theactorsdiet.com.
My Twitter handle is funnydp. Website, DwaynePerkins.com. And the book is Hot Chocolate for the Mind, available on Amazon.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. Next week, I'll be in San Diego for a couple of dates if you want to check that out. And look for the Threesis tour. We're doing a 2-week East Coast tour this summer, end of July, all up and down the East Coast. Lynn, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.